Sometimes I get asked, was everybody in the Bible saved and given entrance into heaven the same way? You know, if we know that we're saved by putting our faith in Jesus Christ, how were people saved before Christ came to the earth? That's a great question. You know, some people would say, well, we're saved by looking back in faith to the cross. They were saved by looking forward to the cross. Really, we don't see any examples of that in Scripture. In fact, the Bible indicates that those in the Old Testament, the passages that were written about a suffering one, they didn't quite understand all that. Even the apostles didn't understand that Christ was going to die and suffer and all that. So the question then is, in the Old Testament, you know, how were those saints saved? How many of you believe there'll be Old Testament saints in heaven that lived before Christ? How many believe there'll be people in heaven that lived before Christ came? Well, of course there will be. You think about Abraham and Moses and Samuel and David and Daniel and on and on and on we go of godly people in the Old Testament that love the Lord. And what's going to be their song in heaven? How did they get there? Of course, we know without the blood of Christ being shed, nobody could go to heaven and nobody could be there. But what was it that God was looking for in their life specifically that He would grant them heaven in the Old Testament before Christ came, before Christ died, before He was buried, before He rose again, before He ascended up on high and was exalted? You know, last week we said we were going to give you three Bible principles, and I gave you two last week. The first one was this: Old Testament saints did receive many promises of God. Aren't you thankful tonight for the promises of God? Amen. You know, we've got the completed Word of God, don't we? We've got Old Testament, New Testament. We've got all the church age truth that God gave Paul. We have got all the full promises of God that we can look to in faith. And that is a blessing. And, you know, as we look, though, in the Bible, we saw that those that lived before Christ, they had promises too. And we saw that they were looking for a Redeemer. They were looking for somebody to come and redeem the nation of Israel. You know, we saw examples of this. Old Testament saints, they didn't understand, you know, that the Messiah would come and die on a cross, and there he would pay for all of our sins and you know, rise from the dead. They didn't understand all that, but they were not mindless robots that were just carrying out the Old Testament law, kept in utter spiritual darkness. No, they had promises of God that they could, by faith, trust in. And in faith, many of them were looking for a Messiah to come. So we said, don't underestimate their knowledge and their realm of understanding. And then we saw number two, Old Testament saints were not saved by keeping the law. You know, in the Old Testament, God gave to Israel the law. Okay? And of course, you know, we know, we've heard of the Ten Commandments, right? The Ten Commandments were part of that law system that God gave to His people, the nation of Israel, in the Old Testament. And God gave them that law. And that law was it was over 600 commands, but it was an expression of the righteousness of a holy God. Now, what is sin? The Bible says in 1 John 3:4 that sin is when we transgress, when we disobey God's law. When we break God's law, we have sinned. Let me ask you something. How many people have sinned? The Bible says all have sinned. We've all broken, you know, most all of the Ten Commandments. And either in out-and-out deed or in thought or in our spirit, in our heart, we've all broken the Ten Commandments, and we know that. And the Bible says, then, if all have sinned, then that means how many people have broken God's holy law? How many? All. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 3:19 that by the law is the knowledge of sin. It's by the law. You know what? When the law comes and says that I shouldn't lie, then, you know, then all of a sudden now I realize that when I have lied, now I have offended God's righteousness. I have broken God's law. When the Bible says, thou shalt not steal, now I know that when I take things that don't belong to me, or I don't return things I borrowed, or you look over and you cheat on a test and take somebody else's answers, or you lust after another woman that's not yours, and you're taking that which belongs to another man. When you do those things, now you realize, man, I am breaking God's law. By the way, when we have lust in our heart towards another person, we've broken one of the Ten Commandments of sexual sin. So it's by the law that we have the knowledge of sin. How many people have broken God's law? How many?
All.
Now, the Bible teaches, though, the law can condemn you, but the law cannot save you. Okay? The law shows us our guilt, but it can't remedy the problem. The Bible says, and we saw last week, the law cannot give life. It's the ministration of death. It shows us that we deserve death. The law cannot impart to you righteousness. The law cannot justify you before God. It cannot justify you and make you righteous before God. The Bible calls it the ministration of condemnation. The law cannot make anyone perfect, Hebrews 7:19 says. Even the Old Testament sacrifices, if they sinned, they could offer a sacrifice, but the sacrifices could not please God in respect to their salvation. And we studied that out and we saw that last week. The Old Testament saints, they received promises of God, but they could not be saved by keeping the law. No man ever did or ever can fulfill the law so as to merit salvation by their performance of it. And we saw that last week. Then the question is, how were these folks saved? If it wasn't through keeping the law, and it wasn't by looking forward to Jesus' death on the cross because they didn't understand all that, how were they saved? And that's kind of where I left you off last week, left you hanging. I want you to take your Bible and go to Hebrews chapter 11 in the New Testament, and let's examine this tonight. Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter 11, and look with me at verse 1. The Bible says, now faith, you there? Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to give you a chance to get there. Hebrews 11:1. Okay, are you there? Okay, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Now, look up here, and we're going to go to Hebrews 11 here and examine this in a moment. Here's what I want you to get. I want you to really think about this statement. You ready? The requirement for salvation in every age, every time period or dispensation, we call it in the Bible. Okay? Well, you know, every single time in the Bible, every age, the requirement for salvation is faith. And the object of that faith is God. Now, the content of that faith changes in the various dispensations, those various time periods in the Bible. Let me give you an example. Abraham. What was the content of his faith? Well, here's what it was. God came to Abraham. Remember, God decided that God was going to have a nation that would be His people, that could be a light to all the other nations. So God started with one man, and that man's name was Abraham. Now, God came to Abraham, and God said to Abraham, look at the stars in the heavens. I mean, you know, we know that you can't even count them. And God said, now I am going to multiply your seed. From you will come a seed that will be as the stars of heaven. Abraham was an old codger. And God said, I'm going to give you seed that's going to be like the stars of heaven. You won't be able to count them. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, how did he gain that righteousness? It was by what? By faith. What was the object of his faith? The object of his faith was God. But what was the content of his faith? The content of his faith was that promise that his seed would be as the stars of heaven. Now, let's look at Hebrews 11 and verse 4. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Here we have Abel. Abel was Adam and Eve's son. Abel, what was the content of his faith? The content of his faith was God's command to offer a blood sacrifice. Why did he do that which is right? And why did Cain not do it? Remember, Cain brought the fruit of the ground, of his works. Cain brought his works. Abel brought a blood sacrifice as God commanded. But why did Abel do that which was righteous, that which was right? According to verse 4, what's the first two words? By faith. It was because of his faith in God that he came and offered that sacrifice. So we see here the content of Abraham's faith was those stars, that promise of the stars in his seed. The content of Abel's faith was that command to bring a blood sacrifice. Now let's look at Noah. Look at verse 7. It says, by faith Noah, another Old Testament saint, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by what? By faith. What was the content of his faith? God's command to build an ark. That was the command, and God's promise was that he would deliver Noah if he would do that. And so the content of his faith was that command to build that ark. And he became an heir of the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, let's talk about believers today. Those of us who live today in this dispensation. What is the content of our faith? What does God require in this age? It's very simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You know what the content of our faith is today? It's the finished and completed work of Jesus Christ. It's the fact that He died on the cross for our sins, our shortcomings, our failures, our violations of God's holy moral law. He took every one of those sins, He died and He bore those sins in His body on the tree. And He rose from the dead, He ascended to heaven, and there He's been exalted at the right hand of the Father. And you know what? The content of our faith is the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. The content of our faith is different than Abraham, is different than Abel, is different than Noah. But nevertheless, we're all saved by faith. We're all saved by faith, and the object of our faith is God. It's just the content of that faith varies as God revealed more and more of Himself in the Bible. It has always been a faith issue between a person's heart and God. Hebrews 11 makes this clear. Look with me again at verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, by faith, the elders, that's speaking of Old Testament saints here, for by it the elders obtained a what? Good report. Look at verse 39 of that same chapter. Verse 39. How many of you are a little warm in here tonight? We need just a little cool air going, Russ, if we could. I don't want people to start going into a comatose stage on me here, all right? Look at verse 39. It says, and these all, he just got done naming a ton of Old Testament saints, and these all, having obtained a good report through what? Through faith. And notice it says, they received not the promise. You say, what's that talking about? Here's what it's talking about. The promise is referring to Christ. They were looking for the Messiah, but He didn't come in their lifetime. So they retained a good report by faith, but they all died before Christ came, before that promise came. It's kind of like today. We have faith and confidence in Christ, and we look to the rapture when God is going to catch away the church. Some of us, though, we're going to die before that rapture takes place. But nevertheless, you know, our faith is in Christ, and many of us, though, we will die before we see that promise of the rapture realized. many of the Old Testament saints, they died not having received that promise. In other words, Christ did not come in their lifetime, but yet they still received a good report through their faith. Look at verse 6, Hebrews 11:6. The Bible says, "But without faith, it is what? It's impossible to please Him, to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently," what? "That diligently seek Him." It's faith that pleases God. Listen, listen. If you think that you are going to work your way to heaven, you'll end up in hell. You say, "Well, boy, that's kind of blunt." Exactly. I mean it to be blunt. Because listen, if you'll end up just like Cain. Cain brought his works from the ground. We know what happened to him. Abel was accepted because by faith he brought that blood sacrifice. My friend, listen, there's only one way you're going to get to heaven, and that's the blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ and your faith in Him. If you think that you're going to work your way to heaven, and because you're a good person, oh yeah, you're good according to your standards, not according to God's standards, according to God's moral law, according to God's Ten Commandments, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. You will not get to heaven because you are, quote, good, or because you do good deeds and good works. If a person commits a crime, okay, and they're standing before the judge, is the judge going to say, "I know you committed this crime, but you know what? You've also done a lot of good things. Go ahead and go." No. God's not going to do that either. God's not going to say, "Yeah, I know you've sinned against me over and over and over again, but you know what? You did a few good things too, so you know what? Go ahead and come on into heaven." No. You will not get to heaven by your good deeds. There is only one way to heaven, and that's by faith. Faith in Jesus Christ. You have to put your total faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's interesting in verse 6, it says that without faith, it's impossible to what? To please God. You know, it was not the sacrifice of an animal in the Old Testament. We saw in Hebrews 10, 6 and 8 that God has no pleasure in those sacrifices. It's that faith in that person's heart that pleases God. Does that make sense? If it does, say amen. Let me ask you something. What is normal for a Christian who has placed their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? What is the normal thing that should come after we put our faith and trust in Christ? Thank you. Somebody said it. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But then it goes on to say, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." Once we're saved, we are created a new person in Christ Jesus unto, anybody know? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So what's normal for somebody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Good works. Now, do good works save us and give us brownie points with God? Yes or no? No. Do good works take us to heaven? Yes or no? No. But they're a natural outgrowth of our faith in Christ. What was normal for somebody in the Old Testament that had placed their faith in God? Hebrews 11 makes it pretty clear. Good works, just like us. They naturally followed. Did you know that any righteousness that an Old Testament saint could do, any righteousness they could possibly do, it was all rooted in faith? Look at verse 33. Verse 33 of Hebrews 11. It's speaking now of Old Testament saints under the law here. We're under the law. Verse 33, "Who through what? Faith. Through faith subdued kingdoms, and they wrought righteousness. Obtained what? Promises. And stopped the mouths of lions." And it goes on and tells of all these exploits and these good things that they did. But verse 33 is the key. It says, "Who through faith." Go to Romans chapter number 4. Romans chapter number 4. And man, this is the clincher right here. This whole chapter, Romans 4, is devoted to Paul proving that salvation is by faith and that this is no new concept that he was sharing. You see, there were a lot of Jewish people that were under the delusion that they could become righteous by trying to be good law keepers. The Apostle Paul writes the book of Romans, and I mean, he is just knocking the props out from under them left and right. And this whole chapter 4 is written to show salvation is by faith, always has, and always will. Look with me at Romans chapter number 4, and look at verse 6. He uses David, who was under the law. And he says, as an example, he says, even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness. What's the next two words? Without works. He lived under the law system. And notice saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Boy, verse 13 is good. If you'll look over there. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed. That's Israel under the law. It was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but notice the promise was through the righteousness of what? Man, this is getting to be good tonight. Aren't you glad you came on Father's Day? Look at verse 14. For if they which are of the law be heirs, if they can somehow be heirs, he says, then faith is made what? Void. And the promise made of none effect. Why? Because of verse 15. Because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. What does the law work? Wrath. It just brings the wrath of God. It cannot bring you peace with God. It brings the wrath of God. And then verse 16 is awesome. Look at verse 16. Therefore, now remember, he's used Old Testament saints. He's used David. He's used Abraham. He said even their seed. And now verse 16. Therefore, now here's the conclusion. Therefore, it is of what? Faith, that it might be by what? Grace. To the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What's he saying there? He's saying, look, everybody, he's saying whether to those under the law or to those called apart from the law, like Abraham was. When Abraham was called, he was called as a Gentile, uncircumcised, apart from the law. So he's saying, look, whether you're of the law or whether you're apart from the law, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Oh, glory, amen. Man, I'm getting excited. That is good. And then he uses Abraham. He goes on as an illustration. Look at Romans 4:18. This is speaking of Abraham, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. That was the promise of God. Verse 19, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. He was an old man. He didn't think he could ever have kids. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah, his wife's womb. So the Bible says he was not weak in faith. He wasn't even considering his outward circumstances. He just believed God. Look at verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Man, I like that. Man, woo, I like Abraham, don't you? You know what? Here's this old codger. And God says, you're going to have a son with Sarah, and man, your seed is going to be like the stars of heaven. And the Bible says, now I know Abraham had some lapses of faith, and I understand that. But yet, the Bible says in the New Testament, doesn't even mention it, just says he was not weak in faith. He didn't even consider the circumstances. He staggered not at that promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith. What a example for us today. If Abraham could do that, who Abraham had very little of God's Word, how much more should we be strong in faith, who have the completed Word of God and the finished work of Christ to look back upon, who have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of us. Man, if Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, then man, much more so we should be today. The Bible says in verse 22, and therefore, how did God respond to his faith? And therefore it was imputed to him for what? For righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed. Righteousness will be imputed to you if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Notice, the content of our faith changes from what Abraham's was, but the result is the same. How you get there is the same, that is faith, and the end result is the same, that is salvation. But the content of that faith is what changed in different dispensations, in different time periods. The issue here was faith in God's promise with Abraham. That was the issue, faith in God's promise. Let me ask you something, church. Was Abraham the only Old Testament person capable of exercising believing faith? Yes or no? Not according to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 names people that lived before the law. It names people who lived during the law. And it commends them for their faith in God. Which brings us to an important issue. If it is impossible to please God apart from faith, which Hebrews 11:6 teaches, if it's impossible to please God apart from faith, then now we see why the law system could not save you. Why not? Go to Galatians chapter 3. We've been studying Galatians verse by verse. In fact, we're going to be heading into chapter 3 next week. We're going to finish up chapter 2 Wednesday night. I'm planning on finishing chapter 2. Next week we'll dive into chapter 3, and it's awesome. And chapter 3, why could the law system not save you? Look at chapter 3, Galatians 3, verse 12. And the law, look at it with me, and the law, Paul says, is not of what? It's not of faith. Now, wait a minute. God said it is impossible to please Him without what? You guys, I'm trying to get you to interact because you're tired. You guys are doing great. It's impossible to please God apart from faith. And the Bible says the law is not of what? It's not of faith. But, notice, the man that doeth them shall live in them. You know what that's saying? The law is not of faith. The law is not about believing. It's about doing. Right, Brother Larry? The law isn't about believing. It's about doing. The law says, what have you done? The law requires strict obedience. And the Bible says, the man that doeth them, all those commands in the law, the man that doeth them perfectly at all times and in all places, then he shall live in them. Then he'll gain life. But if in any case he fails, he forfeits his life. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. How many people are under that death sentence? Nobody has ever kept the law. Nobody has ever doeth them, as the Bible says. No one has ever done those commands perfectly. And that's why Paul says that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. He says it is evident. Look with me at verse 11. Will everybody please look at verse 11? but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. He said, it's just evident. Then he uses an Old Testament quotation. For the just shall live by what? Faith. Now I'm almost done. Stay with me. Old Testament saints did not have the completed work of Christ to look back upon. But they could love God and they could believe and trust in God and in His promises. They could exercise believing faith in what they knew up to that point. They could put their faith in the promises they had up to that point. Jesus said the entire law system hangs on two commands. Love God and love your neighbor. In Matthew 12, or Mark 12, that's the last thing we'll look up. Go over to Mark 12. And this is the last passage I'll have you turn to. Matthew and then Mark. Mark in the New Testament, chapter number 12. And this is interesting. Mark chapter 12. And look with me at verse 28. It says, this is Jesus Christ here. One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, he asked Jesus, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, Well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God, and there is none other but He. Look at this, verse 33. And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself, is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. The law did not hang on the sacrificial system. Again, let me remind you, when they offered up them Old Testament animal sacrifices, that was a shadow of good things to come. And it was to remind Israel of the day when He promised that He would blot out their sins forever. It provided a temporary forgiveness for sin when it was offered in faith as they walked with God. It was a way for them to maintain their fellowship with God, but it could not provide eternal salvation. Only faith could do this. Do not think for a moment that Old Testament saints could not have a relationship with God. Abraham was called the friend of God. David was a man after God's own heart. And as we have seen, through the ages, man's faith has been expressed in many different ways, depending on the revelation of God up to that point in time. But Hebrews 11 and Romans 4 and Galatians teach us that the basis of their relationship with God was faith. Their acceptance before God was rooted in faith. How were they saved? By God's grace through faith. And that's exactly what he said in Romans 4:16. Whether you are of the law or apart from the law, it's of faith that it might be by grace. Aren't you glad you're saved by faith? Amen. Aren't you glad you're saved by the grace of God? You may be here tonight and you're not sure you're saved. You're going to try to work your way there. No, you're not. You're not going to work your way there. You'll end up in hell. The only way there is you've got to be of faith. You have to be of that faith of Abraham. You've got to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the only way. You've got to recognize your sinfulness, repent and turn from your sin. Just turn to Christ. Put your faith in Him to save you and to forgive you and to bring you into a right relationship with God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Thank you so much for your attention tonight. You've been great. And I